You cannot serve God and money, or mammon, as it used to be said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious. The source of our anxiety, our anxiousness, is our idolatry. Your fear, your panic, and your every source of trembling comes from trusting in something or someone other than your Heavenly Father. And as long as you are a sinner, you cannot avoid creating idols, following after them. And thus, as sinner, you cannot avoid anxiety. So it was from the beginning. Adam, Eve, and you, their children. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The curse began with that first act of idolatry, trusting in our own word about the tree and its fruit over the Lord's own word. And since then, our lives have been full of anxious labor. Children are come into the world with pain. Indeed, the woman who is in labor is anxious for it to be over. Then we wait anxiously after they're born for the heartbreak that children often inflict. Wives are anxious, impatiently overruling their husbands. Husbands, too, refusing to love their wives. And then each sit on pins and needles at home around the quiet dinner table, anxious to avoid the next blow-up. So also with our work. Our toil does not always yield enough money to pay the rent, to feed the flock, or to keep the lights on. We struggle anxiously with what tomorrow may bring. Is this anxiety manageable? Can we get a grip on the panic? Perhaps it's the thought of the hardships the next presidency might bring, depending on who's elected. Or maybe you're anxious over those changes at corporate, or the ignorant choices of your children. Perhaps you're anxious over your retirement benefits running out, or your tanked portfolio, or the rising cost of both fuel and food. Perhaps also you're anxious about the fear that tomorrow may be your last day. Through accident or tragedy or even heart attack, that tomorrow you would breathe your last. You're anxious, but because you have idols. You've placed your hope and your confidence in the mammon, that is the stuff of this world, of this life. You think you're okay, as long as you're fed, safe, employed, loved by your obedient children, comfortable, and your future is certain, 70 or by reason of strength, 80 years. What if the rug is pulled out from any one of these things, food or clothing or life? What then? Anxiety, anxiousness. The idol has failed. The one whom you placed, or the thing that you placed your trust in, failed. And then you panic. Such as it is always with the body of flesh, just as it was from the beginning with our cursed parents. Sorrow and pain and domineering, toil and sweat mark everyone who trusts in their own pantheon of idols. None of this is to say that you don't love your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You certainly do. You call on his name at least a couple times a month, maybe weekly or even daily. It's not that you don't love him or trust in him. It's that you don't love and trust in him above all things. Do you call upon him in every trouble? Do you listen attentively to him in his word every time he speaks? Or do you have mammon in whom you also trust? Calling out to others when you need help, listening to the advice of this world or to the demonic. What we've created is a soup of mixed loyalties. In this soup is our God, but also idols. We turn to our Heavenly Father, fish him out of the soup for churchly stuff, and then as frequently as we need it. But in the next breath, we would trust in our government more than God for protection and economic welfare. Perhaps find our source of comfort in our friends alone and not in God. Look for love from our children or spouse, but not from God. Maybe companionship from the spouse too. Maybe looking to your doctor almost as an idol, trusting in him above God for your health. Maybe your philosophy of capitalism is your source of hope for employment, and so forth. Once you taste this soup of mixed loyalties, you'll find it's quite bitter, for the bitter idols have overwhelmed the sweetness of your Heavenly Father. Only when you've got that taste for God in particular that you fish him out of the soup. The rest of the time, you just swallow that whole bitter brew without him, even thinking of him and needing his providence. And that's what makes you captive to your anxiety, makes you anxious day to day. God is not some kind of extra aid, a tasty frosting on the cupcake of life. God is not the one you turn to like a spoonful of sugar that will help make all your bitter medicine in life go down. He isn't the emergency service that you call only when life's toilet won't drain. When your doctors or specialists throw up their hands, is that when you call upon him in prayer? You see, every anxiety of this body and life is actually the ugly child of our trust in something other than our Heavenly Father. So Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is saying you can't have mixed loyalties. It's all or nothing. If God is not your God alone, you will be anxious about everything. Money, conflicts with family and others, about your work, even about getting the laundry done. You'll go to bed worried about tomorrow morning and forget to even take the rest that God has given you in that darkness. And so Jesus says emphatically to you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is a stubborn pastor who does not allow any excuse for you to forget to pray. Seek first the kingdom of God. Or for failing to teach the children the faith. Seek first the kingdom of God. Using the Sabbath as a vacation day from God. Or ignoring the church in her need. Jesus really doesn't care all that much if your friend is leaving town, if you've got work to do, plans to make, packing to do, or the like on Sunday morning. He wants you to seek him first, and his righteousness most of all. First. So he scolded his friend Martha when she was busying herself with her idols, that is her housework, her chores, when she should have just set it aside for a time and let Jesus be her God. If God is to be our only God, then the old man and the man who loves his idols must be put to death. Indeed, every idol that you've created needs to be trashed, burned, eviscerated, dethroned. O you who have little faith, Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Right now, Jesus is here, God in the flesh, to give you every good gift of the kingdom, to provide for you the kingdom, as he has promised, his righteousness. And so, through Jesus speaking here, every idol is cast down from its throne. All the things or people that you place your trust or hope in, apart from God, are removed from your heart. Instead, God himself takes residency there, alone. So he suffers, dies, and rises on the third day, crucifying in you the desires of the flesh, your desire for idols, forgiving you of this sin, and granting unto you eternal life, the promise. Jesus now sits enthroned between the cherubim and your own heart. He sits upon his own mercy seat. He's speaking to you and forgiving you now. He shed his blood, sprinkled it over you for the remission of your sins. He gives to you food from heaven, bread. He washes you of every spot and blemish. He names and claims you as his own. And thus, you have no reason to be anxious. He is your refuge and strength. He is your every hope and struggle. He is the provider of every good thing for life to come and even now. And so, like Martha, you set aside your work for this day and instead attend to Jesus. And yet you still work. You work because God gave you work. But that work is also cursed. It's not easy. It is toil. It is labor. And our work does not just end in our workplace, but it extends into our home as we serve as father or mother. It extends here into the church, as Paul said in Galatians, as we bear each other's burdens, as we share with the one who teaches, as we do not grow weary of doing good, especially for the household of faith. We never grow weary. And yet, this is not by your own reason or strength, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You who are of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, Paul says. For the Spirit lives in you, and thus you walk by him. So also, Christ has crucified the flesh in you. And with that flesh, then, all your idolatry, all your trust and hope in things other than God, that nagging restlessness, that painful worry about today and tomorrow. Will you have enough? Can you do your part? What will tomorrow bring? God only knows. And so he says to you through the psalmist, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. God, the Father, is your Father. You are his children. Thus, you have no reason to be anxious. He will provide for you as a father always provides for his children. He has safely gathered you to his bosom. And there within the arms of the Father, you can rest without anxiousness as his beloved children. His rod and his staff guide you. He knows your needs and well provides them. And so your hope is not founded on what today or tomorrow might bring. You know your days are going to be full of toil and trouble, sorrow and heartache, just as it was for Adam and Eve, so it will be for you. Your hope is grounded instead upon the promise, the eternal future of heaven. That's why Jesus says there on the mount as he's preaching, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your hope is not in all these things, but it is in the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That clears your conscience of your anxiety as you walk heavenward all the way. There's really no need for you, Jesus says, to worry about today or tomorrow. For in him you are forgiven. By his death and resurrection, there's no need to even fear death. For that death is destroyed, and the gates of heaven are already open to you and to all believers. Your fate is assured. You can rest in confidence, knowing that Christ's own righteousness has washed over you in baptism, has been declared to you in holy absolution. His righteousness will be given to you to eat and drink in the Holy Communion. You share together in that hope. And even so, Jesus gives another example, a beautiful example. Look at the birds and look at the lilies. You see how your heavenly Father takes care of them, that they can work, that they can be lilies and birds without any anxiety or fear or panic about today or tomorrow. They just are who God has made them. They serve God, and God clothes them and feeds them. And Jesus says that you are the same. So your Lord thinks of you. We who are of more value than they, the birds and the lilies. Be who God has made you. Rest confidently in his righteousness, that you are children of his kingdom. He knows your needs and well provides for them. No need to worry. No need to rely upon idols that you've constructed like a crutch. He will provide in part now for your life, but completely in eternity. Consider eternity, what he has promised for you there. Clothing? Well, you will be clothed in his own righteousness, in that spotless white garment washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Food? Feast upon your Lord's own body and blood into eternity, the feast that never ends. Your life? Eternal. Your body restored completely to vitality forever. Seek first this kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.